Heartbreak to healing. Today, I'm going to share my testimony of how I found God. I'm going to talk about how God used my pain and He made it my platform, how I was before coming to God, what I went through, and how His grace saved me. I'm your host, Amanda Ensing, and you are tuning in to Liberty Before Lipstick. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Liberty Before Lipstick. I hope everyone is doing well. I have been wanting to share my testimony for quite some time now. There is a video version of this podcast up on my YouTube channel, but I also wanted to share it here. We're living in a godless society where everything pushes you to rely on yourself and to rely on what the world says, to rely on the experts, but not once to lean on Jesus and to learn God's truth. So I hope you enjoy my story. I hope it can encourage you and reignite a fire and a passion for God. Before we get into the episode, I just want to let you guys know that I will have a second podcast up this Thursday. And if you want early access to that podcast, it's going to be going up on my Patreon on Wednesday. In order to get the early access a day before on my Patreon, you have to be under the Ultimate Patriot. That's the higher tier of the two. So if you haven't already considered joining my Patreon, I hope that you will. No pressure. As always, all of my podcasts are free on podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, and on my podcast page, but I am beginning to upload exclusive content and early content on my Patreon page. You can join it by going to patreon.com/AmandaEnsing. So growing up, I did not like going to church at all. I grew up going to Catholic church and I didn't like going to church. I loved God. I always prayed to God. In college, I stopped going to church almost altogether and I would only go on holidays because my college was still close enough to drive to my hometown. And my mom, of course, always like come to church, like you need to come to church on Christmas and Easter, et cetera, et cetera. So I always went on holidays, but I just never felt like that urge to go to church. I always thought, oh, it's something I'll do when I'm older. Like I'll read the Bible when I'm older. Do you know what I mean? A few years after college, I went through a really bad breakup. I had been in a really long relationship and our relationship definitely was not centered around God. When I got my heart broken, I hit rock bottom. That was the lowest part of my life. I felt unexplainable pain. If you've been heartbroken or gone through heartbreak, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I just had no will for anything. I felt like my life was over and I just felt like I was at the bottom of a pit looking up and I saw no way out. Through getting my heart broken, I felt empty. I felt nothing. I felt completely alone because most of my friendships were kind of deteriorated to not a whole lot because I worked all the time creating content and a lot of my friends after college had moved to other states. So I just felt like I was completely alone. And my family lived about an hour away. So my mom came to visit and, you know, I would spend some time with my brothers, but I just felt so empty. I felt like there was nothing left to live for. It's so crazy to think about it now, but that was my first heartbreak. We had dated for like, I think it was 7 years, so it was a very long time, and I had felt like my future had just been ripped out from underneath of me. So after a week of just crying every single day, eating ice cream, you know, the usual like, what do I do now? My life is over kind of thing. I just said, God, I need you. Like, help me. And so I had just woken up and I took Molly out in the back and I saw one of the neighbors outside. And when I saw her outside with her daughter, she had a little baby. I just had something in me saying, go talk to her. Like, go talk to her. I think it was the Holy Spirit telling me, but at the time I didn't realize it. And so I just kind of walked over and I'm on the verge of tears of just crying. And I look at her and I say, how did you know your husband was the one? Because she has this beautiful family. And then I just start busting out into tears and she invited me into her home. And little did I know, she was a devout Christian following Jesus, and she was just such a wise person, and she helped me so much on my journey the year that I was living in that house. Looking back, it's awesome to see how God places people in your life in the most unexpected ways to help bring you closer to Him. And she was a huge part of my journey. She breathed so much life into me with scripture, with God's truth. And when I would ask her for advice, she wouldn't tell me what she thought. She would tell me what the Bible says, what the word says. Like, I would spend all day calling my friends being like, what should I do? How do I get over heartbreak? What should I do? And it never felt enough. It was just like, you keep drinking water, but you're so thirsty. And I would go speak to her and she would point me to the Bible. And all of a sudden I felt filled. I felt I wasn't thirsty anymore. My thirst was quenched. As I was sitting at rock bottom, I realized I need to go back to church. So I started going back to church because I had nowhere else to turn. My heart was broken and I said, okay, Jesus, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I don't want to be in pain anymore. And I realized that God was the only thing that could fill that space in my heart that had felt honestly empty for so long. Even when I was in that relationship, there was always a part of me that was so empty and wanting more from the relationship, but it wasn't anything that a person could give me. It was something that only God could give me, a peace and a love that only God could give me. And that hole in my heart, that emptiness, had to be filled with God. So I started my journey to getting to know who Jesus was, because I had known Jesus my entire life. I had prayed almost every night, but I knew Him. I didn't really know Him. Who was He? What does He say about us in the Bible? Who were we made to be? And I started the journey of my self-worth, of who God says I am, of how worthy I am in God's eyes. And I mean, it changed the course of my life, because for so long I had seen myself through the lens of the world, not the lens of how God sees me. Because the world and the culture values you on success, on your looks, how much money you have, you know, your status, your career. But Jesus, you were created in the image of God, and God sees you more valuable than any gems, more beautiful than the ocean, than any creation here on earth. And it was through me getting to know Jesus and going back to church and reading my Bible that I started to discover, oh my gosh, I have been selling myself short for so long without even realizing it. I started posting videos about self-worth. You know, I started to learn who I was. I started to see myself the way God sees me. And it was almost like the rose-colored glasses had just been pulled off, like the veil had been ripped from my eyes of, wow, I am so much more than I even knew that I was. And I think it's important to note that before I started this journey with Jesus, I had my rebellious season. Like, I had my moment where I tried to ease the pain with things of the world, you know, going out with friends and going to parties. And I've never been a drinker. I don't like alcohol. But I mean, there were moments where I was forcing myself to drink with my friends so people thought I would be fun, something that I could never stand even before. And none of it ever helped anything. It was all just a temporary band-aid for something that could only be fixed through God's grace and through letting Jesus fill those holes that were always in my heart that I needed to fill with Him. I needed to get to know Him. When you have an encounter with God, it completely changes the way you look at the world. It completely changes your life. It's not to say you won't slip up and go back to your old ways. Happens to all of us, happens to the best of us. But when God saves you and He turns your life around, you can't help but to talk about it. You can't help but to share it with other people, because you know that if God can pull you out of dark situations, if God can change your life, if God can heal you, God can save you, He can save anyone. Before I started walking with Jesus and seeking God, I always felt like everything had to be perfect. I would not show any imperfections on my social media. Everything had to be carefully constructed and posted. And I remember posting my first video talking about how I was struggling with a breakup and heartbreak. And that's when I really started to connect with my audience, with you guys, because I was being vulnerable and real. And it never occurred to me in that moment how many thousands of other people were also going through heartbreak, and how a lot of us, we kind of started going through this journey together. And I started sharing more. Like, that was the moment when I started seeking God, that I started sharing more of my heart, sharing more of Jesus. And this journey started in 2015 and then went until 2016, when I then moved to LA, which is the next chapter of my testimony. In early 2016, I met someone, and I had only had one boyfriend before that, and I was not looking to date anyone at all. I was just so against it. But the guy that I had met was chasing God's heart. And that was so attractive to me because that was the same journey I was on. And meeting him really catapulted my faith. He taught me what Christian men should do and how they should treat their relationships. It was a level of respect that I never had before, because I'd only had one boyfriend, one serious boyfriend. I had dated guys and went on dates, and I was never treated the way that he treated me. And it was that moment where God was showing me there's so much out there for you, you know, to be with someone who's also actively pursuing God. So I started going to churches that just preach biblical truth. No man-made religion. I don't even say I'm religious, because I'm just a follower of Christ. That's it. I follow Jesus. That's all. And I started my journey that God was taking me on of just going to churches that just preach the Bible. The Catholic Church was not for me. I personally didn't have the best experience, and I went to several Catholic churches. I know it is for some people, but it wasn't for me. I just wanted to hear what God had to say. And through that journey, I felt so many chains just be broken. I started going to churches that preach hard biblical truth, things that people need to hear. It's not just things that tickle your ears. And when it comes to church, it's such a personal thing. You have to really be praying to God and asking him to lead you to your church home that is the church, the community that you should be with. And it's very hard finding a church, whether you're a Catholic, whether you're non-denominational, Baptist, whatever it is, it can be very difficult finding a church. I know when I moved to LA, it was so hard. I felt like I would be at a church for 6 months to a year, and then I would leave, kind of bouncing around. It was very difficult. So if you're in that kind of moment where you're figuring out where you should be going to church, definitely give it some time and pray about it. You know, with everything, pray about it. No matter what you do, pray about it. God will really show you which church is for you and where you should be going. The government might say church is non-essential, but it is absolutely essential. Even if you can just get a group of people or your family together to worship on a Sunday and to talk about God's word, you can still have church in your home. The most important thing to me is biblical truth. I want to hear what the Bible says. I don't want to hear what man says. I don't want to hear some motivational self-help book saying, you know, all these fluffy words with no scripture. I want scripture, and I want to know what God says. The Bible literally teaches itself. If you read the Bible, it'll tell you everything you need to know. I used to be really intimidated by the Bible because everyone made it seem so complicated. And I was like, I just don't understand it. How do I understand the Bible? I don't get it. But the good thing now about the digital age is that there are so many different Bible studies and study notes. The new Bible that I got that I mentioned is King James Version, but if you're just getting into it, I definitely recommend maybe reading NLT. NLT is an easier version to absorb. I've just been reading for long enough to where I wanted to go up to King James Version. I've been doing a lot of research on different translations. That's a whole nother rabbit hole. But you can get the Bible app. It's free. If you don't have a Bible, start with the Bible app. And it has all the different translations as well on there. You can actually filter scripture by your mood. If you're looking for something that's hopeful, something that's excited, something that's sad, something that you're feeling confused, it's a really great way to start reading key scriptures by what you're feeling, what you need to fill your soul. It's a really great way that you start getting familiar with verses. So the relationship that I was mentioning with the Christian guy, it didn't last very long. It was a very short relationship, but I learned a lot. And I knew God put it in that season to teach me a lesson, right? To teach me something about godly men that I had never experienced before. We had dated, I think it was less than 6 months, and we actually broke up when I was in LA, and I had no friends. I had just joined a women's Bible study, and I hadn't really gotten to know anyone. I was still doing YouTube and stuff, so I literally moved across the country with me and Molly, my dog, and I was doing the same thing I did in Tennessee, just by myself in the middle of Hollywood. And LA was its own spiritual warfare every day. I had been walking with the Lord for a little over a year at this point, and we were doing distance, so it really wasn't going to work out anyways. But it was one of those moments where I'm like, all right, God, like I already saw the change in my life because Jesus is my first love. You know, it says in the Bible to go back to your first love, which is God. And with my first breakup, I didn't have that. I was so reliant on the culture and I believed in God, but I wasn't walking, you know, like I've said a million times. And I think it's important to know that difference. And I'm not discounting how hard heartbreak is. Even if you are following Jesus, it still hurts. It hurts a lot. But knowing that God was right there with me and that he would collect every tear, and, you know, knowing that God's plans are far bigger and better than any plans that I could make, and just trusting that God wrote my love story before I was ever born. You know, he wrote our stories and knew us before we were born. How amazing is that? So knowing God's truths helped me to really arm myself with the full armor of God. I have a whole podcast episode on the full armor of God. If you haven't already listened, definitely give it a listen. So at this point, I was just really not interested in dating at all. I really just wanted time to be alone with God and to prepare myself to be a wife one day, you know, to focus on my relationship with Jesus. I knew that in God's timing, he would reveal the man that he wanted me to be with. So 6 months of living in LA, I had only went on 2 dates and they were nothing promising, no good. Our building was this really small new complex in the middle of Hollywood, and like I said earlier, I didn't have any friends, so I thought, you know what, let's just go and meet some people that live in the building. So I get to the party, I almost didn't even go. Like, I walked out of my apartment, and then I walked back, and then I was like, okay, I'll go. So I just go, barely have any makeup on, just went to talk and get to know people, and everyone there was drinking, and I don't drink, so I was like, ugh. So I'd been at the party for about an hour and had a lot of awkward conversations. So I was like, oh, I think it's time for me to leave. And Rafaela walks in. And the building manager hadn't introduced me to anyone the whole time I'd been there. But she was like, hey, Amanda, I want to introduce you to one of our new tenants. And I was like, okay. And so she introduced me to Rafael. And I just remember thinking, that's totally random. And when I looked at him, I didn't think anything of it. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, that's the one. I didn't think anything. I was so against dating at this time. And so I started talking to him and we started chatting. And that's the first time that we met. He made fun of me because I was very outspoken, like very bold. I feel like my southern twang was a little bit stronger then because I, you know, hadn't been in Los Angeles that long. We started getting to know each other as friends for months before we started dating, and little did I know that was going to be my husband. Obviously, I had no idea at the time. Funny how God works. I don't want to go too much into our story because I do want to tell the full story in another episode, but that was the first time that we met. And God just is really great, and he always knows what he's doing because he's smiling right now. And I know this episode is not about relationships or heartbreak, but my heart broke so Jesus could heal me and show me that I needed him. So that's why I'm talking about it, because it's a huge part of my testimony. But looking back, like, there were so many nights that just were endless nights of me crying and being upset and just saying, like, God, like, what do you have for me? I feel so alone. Like, I just want to understand. And it was all worth it once I met Rafael. Like, I missed my friends back home. I missed my family on the other side of the country. And I mean, Rafael just, like, when we started becoming friends, he like instantly became my home. Like, it was my safe space. And it's so funny because when we were just friends, I was going to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. I had found a church in LA that I liked on Sundays and another one that was only on Wednesday. So I did both. And I'd always tell him, like, let me know if you want to go to church. Let me know if you ever want to go to church. And I remember one week he was like, hey, can I go to church with you today? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And it was one of those moments where God used me to bring him back home. And he was like, you know, I've been in LA for years and I've always wanted to go back to church. I just didn't know how. Living in LA or any big city, most people that are in church really want to be there because it's not something that is like highly valued compared to other places in the South. In my opinion, like growing up in Tennessee, everyone went to church, you know, it was like, you don't go to church. Where in LA, I never knew anyone that really went to church. Do you know what I mean? Especially in Hollywood, it was much more culture focused than God focused. As I've mentioned before, the rest of my time in LA was very difficult. After the first year, the spiritual warfare got even more intense. And with how expensive LA was, how you have to keep up with appearances in LA, I found myself just working more and more and more. And the more I would work, the more I got involved in the beauty industry, the more trips that I went on, I almost felt like I was being pulled away from God. I also found the churches that I was going to were not preaching hard biblical truth. They were more motivational, self-help. We really just want to baptize people. Like, they were the types of churches that just want to get their baptism numbers up, but they don't provide any other resources past that. Like, it was very much a new believer church, and I wanted something that was more mature, that had, you know, hard biblical truth, so I could always be learning about Jesus. And so we would go to church every weekend, and the worship would be great, and it kind of made you feel good when you're listening to the message, but it was more about the pastor's personal experiences versus God's word. If you've ever been to LA, or if you live in a big city, you just work all the time. Like, you literally live to work, to keep up with everything. Everything's more expensive. So as I found myself working more and more, I felt so far from God. I wasn't putting in the time to read my Bible. I was definitely praying a lot, but I wasn't wrapping myself in the armor of God, in the full armor of God. I was only allowing myself a portion of it. You know, I dedicated so much time to work and creating content, and then LA, like, the spiritual warfare, and it's just such a heavy, dark cloud for me when I lived there. I felt like the enemy was attacking at all times. Like, the devil was just coming at me all the time. And I was so overwhelmed. Like, I found myself on a constant burnout all the time in LA. And that resulted in me giving into the culture. You know, I started dressing more provocatively. I started showing more of my body and, you know, okay, sex sells. Like, I love Jesus, but I'm also like, should love my body. And I got very sucked into the progressive Christianity, which says you can do whatever you want. You know, it's okay. God will forgive you. Like, you can dress however you want, own your body, women empowerment, kind of like the whole feminism and culture of the world. And I'll do a whole episode on feminism, by the way. But all of these things that were not biblically accurate, they were people who wanted to make the Bible fit their life instead of changing their ways to follow God's word. And I really didn't know any better at the time. And when I would go to beauty events, I would always, like, you know, ask people, how are you doing? How is your heart doing? Like, what's new? Like, I genuinely care for people. And I even remember trying to talk about God with people, not trying to push it down anyone's throat, but just, you know, talking about how I went to a new Bible study group and, oh, do you go to church? What church do you go to? And I found myself constantly at dead end. You know, a lot of people online will say they're Christians or they follow God, or they might have a scripture like in their bio or post things or say, oh, I thank God for my job. But they're not actually walking with Jesus. And I don't mean that in a judging way. I was there for a long time myself. I say it in a way of, there are a lot of people who claim they're Christians who don't know Jesus, who don't know what the Bible says. And those people, quite frankly, make Christianity as a whole look like a joke, because they'll say they're Christians, but their lifestyle, the fruit they produce, is the complete opposite. And, like, I'm not perfect. Nobody is perfect. But there's a difference between actively trying to follow Jesus and to live a biblical lifestyle versus doing whatever the flesh tells you, you know, whatever you feel like, and disregarding what God says. Those are two very different things. And for people who don't know God or people who are new believers, it can be really confusing. And the easiest way to know if you're following Jesus is to know what the Bible says. And that's what I've learned, you know? The reason why a lot of Christians buckle under pressure while they bow to the culture and to the wokeness and to whatever society says is right is because they don't know the Bible. And that's what I've learned. The more I get to know what the Bible says, what God says, the more I'm able to prepare myself to do better, to really be combating spiritual warfare and to be dying to myself and picking up my cross every single day to live for Jesus, to strive to be more like Jesus. You can't follow Jesus and be more like him if you don't know who he is. One of the reasons why I don't question what God has for my life is because what he's gotten me through thus far. Like, I'm telling you, there are so many things that we want that God does not put in our path or allow to come to fruition because he knows what we need. And that was a hard lesson for me to learn, Because I'm telling you, even when it comes to heartbreak, there were moments I would just cry out to God and be like, God, like, please just bring him back. Like, please, I'll do anything. And I kept thinking like, okay, you know, this relationship's going to work out. When looking back on it, now I understand. Now moving forward, I understand that that was not for me. That was not what God had for me. And it's happened from relationships to jobs, careers, homes, like all of these things in my life, opportunities, things that I wanted that didn't work out. And I'm like, I understand now. It would have been a disaster or wouldn't have worked. And trusting God with your life, with your story that he's already written, that's how I'm able to have such peace, even in the turmoil, even in hard seasons. Like this past season has been long. I'm sure all of you guys are feeling it too. It has been so long. It has been so tiring. I feel like currently I'm just walking and I can see the light at the end of the tunnel and I'm walking, but I never seem like I'm getting any closer. It's like I'm not going anywhere. But at the end of the day, I'm at peace because I know that God's plan will come into fruition. I know how the story ends. I know that God wins. And you know, it says in the Bible, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has worries of its own. You know, something else that God's been reminding me of lately is that anything apart from God is not happiness. Anything on this earth, whether it's money, cars, jobs, you know, whatever it is, apart from God, it is just temporary. It's not actual happiness because apart from God, it is nothing, you know, because the world, like everything the world teaches you draws you away from God. It's like what John 15:19 says, which is, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because I chose you out of the world does not love you as its own. You know, Jesus chose us to be set apart. That's why everything of the world always seems to go against Jesus. You'll never see anything of the mainstream pushing Christian content. You know, where is Christian content on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok or any of these platforms? You know, where is their Christian vertical? You won't find it. You have to find people. I can't tell you how many DMs I've gotten since I've become more vocal of like, hey, what other Christian beauty influencers do you follow? What other Christian influencers do you follow? It's not something that's easily found, which is very sad. That's one reason why I wanted to create this video, because there needs to be more Christian content put out there. There needs to be more people speaking up for Jesus. You know, for a long time, I thought I had to separate God and work, God and social media. And then I realized, like, why am I separating my heart, you know? If I believe God is the one true God and I believe what he says in the Bible, you're supposed to preach the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus. How am I going to separate Jesus from anything I do when we're made in the image of God? When our whole purpose here is to share about Jesus and share his love and to treat people like that. Do you know what I mean? But the culture of the world teaches you, oh, keep religion and politics separate. Keep religion and your work separate. The Bible is covered in politics. Jesus used so many people in politics to save his people, like Esther, perfect example. The world loves to gaslight Christians because the devil knows if he can make you feel like, oh, don't do that or you'll be a bad person, that you won't, because you're like, okay, well, you know, Jesus doesn't judge and Jesus was a loving God, so I won't do that. Which goes back to Christians need to know what the Bible says. Because Jesus did not sit with tax collectors and sinners to say, hey, you know, keep living your life, keep doing your thing, I love you anyways. No, he sat with them so he could teach them about God and to teach them to part from their sinful ways. As always, I'm going to leave you with some scripture, and I feel like no verse is more appropriate right now than Esther 4:14. So I'm going to read from the NLT version. I have my Bible here, but I know KJV can be a little bit hard for some people to understand. So Esther 4:14 says, "If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made a queen for such a time as this." The whole story of Esther is so relevant to the time we're living in right now. And the message behind this verse is, if you are quiet at this time, it's okay. Jesus will save his people using someone else. But why not take a leap of faith? For who knew if you were created for such a time as this? You were given your voice for such a time as this. And it wasn't until everything happened the last year with the pandemic and with lockdowns, and I really started leaning into Jesus and I found my voice and I found my spine and my bravery and all I want to do is kingdom work now. You know, I don't care about anything else. I don't care what the world thinks of me or what I say, or I don't care about my status in society. I care about doing work for the Lord. And, you know, if there's anyone out there listening to this that is looking to find their voice, all you have to do is talk to God. You know, God is so ready to just talk with you, and He listens to everything you say. And through God, you just find the ultimate peace, the ultimate comfort, even through storms, even through hard seasons. And I was such a miserable, anxious, worried person before I gave my life to Jesus. I mean, I looked at the negative in everything. I was so stressed all the time. I was so worried about every day that was coming. And it wasn't until my heart was broken that then God healed me and showed me how to live my life for Him, how to walk with Him, started showing me who He really was and the power that He has. Jesus is a healer. He's a miracle worker. He can heal anyone. He can pull anyone from any situation. There is nothing that is too much for God to do. I am not worried about anything that's coming for the future of America or the world, because I know God wins. I know how the story ends, and God will win, and God will have His way, whatever that looks like. And He is forever King. He forever sits on the throne. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Liberty Before Lipstick. Please don't forget to like it, subscribe to this podcast, and to give me a review in the Apple Store. Don't forget to head over to my YouTube channel for the video version of this podcast. You can find my YouTube at Amanda Ensing, as well as my Instagram, which is also Amanda Ensing. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope everyone has a great week. God bless, and I will catch you guys on Thursday on my podcast platform or Wednesday on my Patreon.